Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vons and Vons in this episode. We all use the he/him pronouns. Our Vonses are furry little fox folk, and they're doing fine. They're just hoping that everybody else manages to keep that crystal intact.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns, and Jesse's, not very happy to be having to leave Grix behind, but she's glad that we, are continuing to move on.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We are currently melded with Weldroa, with Sidroa, the goo monster. So we're both a goo monster. And we answer to any pronouns you want to throw at us. And I'm glad to be leaving this. Wealthy's very glad to be leaving this room because the water thing was just bothering her a whole lot.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us. It makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Also, before we do the recap, I can't remember if we mentioned this. Lita is on a short break, and that is why. This is not me just bulldozing a segment, as I have done at least one time historically. On accident. But he will be back fairly soon. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes. Wit is extremely healthy and sitting about 20 feet from where I am, playing a video game, and we all wish him the best.
Definitely.
So last time we finished up the fight in the big cylinder crystal room that was filled with water. Grix found and fixed all of the panels, and Cool Vons and Steamboat Willie set off all of the switches. So the entire room drained. We had been fighting water elementals in that space, and we either killed, in the case of the big water elemental, or the smaller water elementals were all just drained out at the bottom. And in the course of that fight, the big water elemental had hit the big crystal and made some cracks in it, which was bad because if that explodes, probably the arcs would just go down entirely. And so Squirrello did something to the crystal on either side of the crack so that we could just sort of smoosh the crystal back together and stabilize it a little bit. Once the core was stabilized, Grix and Steamboat Willie were staying here with Enya, Zykra, and May so that they could keep going at like fixing things in this room, and everybody else was going to the backup location to bring the backup crystal online or whatever is at that second location. So that is what happened. We left Grix behind and he's doing stuff.
Fixing the thing. Hopefully. You come back and it's just a cylinder full of that fucking goop.
No. No, that did crazy shit.
The five people have been stranded on novelty pool flotation devices the entire time. Rex perched precariously atop a flamingo.
How did it become a flamingo? Because it got put in the goop.
Yep. They're just happy to stabilize that flamingo.
Yeah.
The lifeboat bed of nails was significantly less appealing.
Yeah.
All right. So you are all off towards the second location, the backup.
As we make our way over there, I would like to get some healing from everybody who has that as a spell. Maybe like mirror or something. Because I'm down to less than half of my health currently.
Hit points.
I got really, really hit.
Yeah, I know.
I got hit like four times.
So, shit, my dice. I'm pulling up roll 20 right now to roll.
I'd like especially to have not have to use potions if possible.
Yeah, I figure you're trying to save resources.
Mm-hmm. Use renewable resources instead of, you know, fixed and finite resources.
That's cool. Vaughn's mind is blown. Someone would actually think to do that.
Cool Vaughn's?
Yeah. I feel like 2005 we were still doing it. It wasn't completely no renewable resources. I think, I don't know. I just remember people being like, we don't need to. It's fine. Well, a lot of other people were like, we really do, though.
He'd probably just be curious as to, like, what global warming looks like right now. Like, is that a thing here? Have people figured out how to burn stuff to make computers go?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the corruption just kind of blotted out the sun, so.
Yeah.
You know, the surface is not warm.
Yeah, I wonder if that's greenhousing anything.
Dear climatologists, hit me up, because I'm not going to figure this out on my own.
If you can't get sunlight under the clouds, a lot of sunlight under the clouds, then you're probably going to be cooler than before. Just saying.
But all right, Jesse, how does 27 hit points sound?
27 hit points is a lot better.
Do you need another dose?
Yeah, because I had 44 damage.
Rolled extremely badly on that. Well, there's another 5. And then, let's see. I think Mir probably has 4 of that slot. Okay, and then another 12, so.
Oh, that for sure does the entire thing.
Cool. Just see Mir do the same animation 4 times in a row. Same sound effect plays. You are healed. All right.
Well, while we're at that.
Yeah, who else is damaged?
It looks like Cool Vaughn's is doing fine, but... Or sorry, it looks like Vaughn's is doing fine, but Cool Vaughn's is at 22. That's like 25 hit points he needs to make up for. So do we have any more casters, or do we need to start popping potions?
Mir will burn a higher level slot to try to give you a nice big dose all at once. You get back 27 hit points.
Yay!
And then how is Veldroa doing?
Veldroa is 24 out of 28, so I don't think I'm desperate.
That's right, because you chugged a potion. All right, cool. Okay, so I think that's almost everyone healed up, although you do have some pretty injured members of your extended party.
So we're just sucking up all the resources.
Maybe we'll just, like, move anybody who is, say, more than 10 hit points down into the rear.
Yeah, okay.
And move other people up.
Okay, so you're going to have to swap, I believe, both Harper and Frymeath out of your vanguard for this.
Aww.
Because...
Well, yeah.
I think they both got at least partially healed, but...
Okay, we will move up Green and Aramith.
I think Aramith was already in that group.
No.
No?
I had... For the Vanguard, I had Alara, Harper, Lucky, Scorello, May, and Odysseus.
Okay.
So I'm swapping in Aramith and Green.
Okay, so Vanguard, swap-a-doodled, and... Also, Alara looks great. It's definitely not because I lost track of her in the turn order in the last combat and she disappeared out of initiative. Nope.
Hilariously, I think that the first and last thing that she did in that combat was dive into the water.
Yep. Accurate.
I was like, oh, that's right. Alara was around. And then she was never mentioned again for the entire rest of this combat.
Yeah. So I was sitting and I just went, ah, shit. Whoops.
I'm sure she was doing important things.
Jesse will be like, hey, you kind of like disappeared. What? Did you take some like water breathing or like what happened? Did you get like pinned down under the water or something?
I pinned a water elemental down that you guys didn't see. I killed it with my thighs.
Yeah.
It was sick.
Yeah. I fist bump her.
You got a good fist bump back. All right. Lara saw Goldeneye at some point, was inspired. Somehow. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you all are heading towards the next facility. Jesse, make a wisdom check to lead our fine folks here in navigating through the caves.
That is a 27 on a prime.
Okay. So you do fucking fantastic, as you are prone to do, in part because you're very skilled, in part because castles and crusades level scaling is insane. Okay, so you get the group going. The facility is deceptively far away, in large part because it seems like the caves have shifted. Like, what would have been a long walk anyway, it looks like some parts of the tunnels have given out and others have, you know, become treacherous and things like that. So, like, it takes you a long time to get down some stuff because what was probably once a perfectly climbable slope has become a eroded, just completely smooth slide, essentially, and things like that. And you have to dodge a few places that are flooded. But you do make it to the backup secondary ? Facility. Or at least you make it to the outside of it. You do not often see metal doors on the arcs, but you do see that someone went through the trouble of melding some sort of very hard metal with the stone around it to seal a couple of large doors that appear to be going leading into this facility.
Well, that's not suspicious.
Danger inside is written in several languages.
Most of which I can read. Well, that's not suspicious.
So Cog is with us. I'll ask Cog, like, hey, man, like, what's the deal? Like, I mean, Grick said we should come here, but like, what do you know? What do you know about this?
Well, Cog pulls a bunch of just a giant sheaf of papers out from his pack and starts flipping through it. Right. Okay. So based on where we are and that hell fell off on the American designation above the door. Ah, yes. Good old AF2DG1.
AF2DG1?
Yes. Yeah. It's mentioned a couple times as being, you know, a backup core facility. Makes sense that that map was pointing us here. I think they maybe made that map on the wall in the other place before we really went to being a little more organized about this. But this one kind of falls off the metaphorical map and the physical one. There's some maintenance notes about it, but they stopped pretty soon after the launch, so I don't know what was going on, because, you know, you've seen our documentation, or rather not seen it, because it turns out doing it later is always at least a day away, so.
Yes, I've had issues with that.
Your tickets are in the queue and will be addressed once the team has bandwidth to do so. I keep them all here on this notepad.
So there's, like, no actual information about, like, what's inside and, like, why they put big danger signs all over it?
No, which is not promising. It's possible. I mean, it's possible that they shut it down for some emergency reason or because, you know, the crystal had a problem or something like that. And these are just general, you know, don't go in here. There's old unmaintained equipment and it's dangerous. It could be something really bad happened and it wasn't noted or got misfiled or got some weird non-indicative name like The Incident, which we're pretty sure applies to at least 7 different historical problems. Makes for a very confusing read.
Yeah, that's fair.
And or it could be that this got covered up.
Oh, well, I mean, like, that sounds like the arcs for sure.
Yeah, I give it like a 75% chance.
Okay.
As soon as somebody survives anything, it's The Incident. They've always got too much ego to call it an incident. It's silly behaviors of history.
Oh. Yeah, I guess, well, I mean, like, this is what we gotta do, so, like, I don't know, there's enough of us. Cog, you know what you're doing, so, like, let's just get in.
Yeah.
Do you have a key?
Well, key or not, the melding with the stone's gonna be an issue.
Oh, is it not, is there, like, not even a keyhole? Sorry, I guess I thought that there was a keyhole.
This is also a symptom of Ian being semi-indecisive about the way presented this originally.
Wonderful.
Yeah, sorry. I was originally like, oh yes, there's just a wall of metal followed by, no one historically has ever done that on the arc, so that doesn't make a ton of sense. Well, okay, yeah, there's a keyhole. I brought all these keys. Holds up just a giant key ring that probably has like 300 keys and just this horrible nesting set of key rings that you're not sure exactly how it fits in the pack. Might take a minute to try them.
Okay.
All right. Goes up.
I mean, like, we can all take turns if it's like tiring or whatever.
Nah, should be good.
Okay.
Vaughn's gonna borrow you.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like they put some gunk in the lock to try to stop us from using the keys, but I'm guessing it's tougher than the stuff around it. Seems to remember you have a predilection for carrying acid on your person.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you have something else, that works too. We could just remove the stone around it.
The acid makes sense. Well, actually, it's just gunk. We don't know what kind of gunk it is.
Make an intelligence check.
Ah. I rolled a 4. But we're adding what, like?
You're adding your level and your intelligence modifier.
So I guess that's 15 on a prime.
Someone stuffed this lock full of alchemical glue.
Chemical glue.
Like the kind you make.
Well,
I will note that I don't believe you've ever researched a solvent for this glue.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's thinking. But he's also probably thinking, well, at least I made a sale.
You're pretty sure this happened hundreds of years before your business existed, but time's screwy sometimes. Maybe next Halloween episode you'll sell some glue in the past.
Okay, so, there's no getting through the glue. It might be easier to get through the lock. Would that be fair to say? Is that accurate? This alchemical glue stuff, it's hard to...
Well, you got a lot of that, potion that lets us, just go through rock. So, what if we just did that around the thing?
Also, it is a lock. I could also just dissolve the lock, right? Oh, wait, do I have any more rust monster potion left?
I was just trying to remember. I think you might have run out.
I might have run out.
You have some written down, by all means, but remember you're running very low where we're finally out.
Yeah, this means reading. Hold on.
We all remember Billy the Rust Monster. In part because I had a moment where I was like, this will make a funny credits. And it's early enough that no one who's listened to the podcast has ever let me forget that I did that.
It's a very upsetting moment, honestly.
I may have underestimated how upsetting it would be as well.
Especially since Vaughn started eating the monster? It.
Well, I do have it one more. It's my last one. It's definitely going to be my last one. It's on my torso. No. Yeah. No, it's in my alchemy bag. Yep. It's the last one.
Just in there clinking up against small explosives and glue and...
Yeah, that's got to be safe, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Like,
there's no way this could go wrong.
Your torso has been crushed at least 3 times. I'm sure. I'm sure that one's fine.
Oh no, nothing. Even worse still. It's just in my bag. It's in a the bag isolates all of the thingies from each other, but only just.
For some reason, I was just imagining an old school doctor's bag, but Vaughn's just has everything loose. In the main compartment, rattling against each other.
Yeah, that would be scary. No, we'd know better.
Yes.
That's got little leather loops in there. But, you can't take up all your space.
Yeah, but all right. So do you want to use your last Rust Monster potion on this?
Yeah, we're going to do that because it's cheaper than the thing that lets you remold the stone.
Yeah, all right.
Going to have to go Rust Monster hunting.
Make a dexterity check, please.
Ooh, 19 on the die. So a bunch. 30?
All right.
On a prime?
You do pretty damn good. You carefully apply this. You manage to deeply rust the entire space around the lock on the door at the edge. It will, however, need a good kick to be broken open, but you've made it possible. Who is strong and would like to kick something really hard?
Sure, I'll kick something really hard.
I mean, you can make Vaughn's try to do it. It would probably be very funny. But, all right, roll a strength check, please.
That's a dirty 20 on a prime.
All right, Jesse, you get some momentum like a freight train. You kick right next to the lock, and bam, this thing slams open. The sound is extremely loud as it, slams back against the rock, and it echoes, reverberates down a long, dark hallway that stretches out in front of you.
Oh, this wasn't even the actual entrance to the thing itself. They built the doors way far away. Crazy.
Yeah, this seems fine.
Yeah, we proceed, I think.
All right. You do have at least a couple lanterns going to help folks who do not have dark vision, namely the Vaughn's Eye and then several of your extended party. So you all trail in. This is a fairly large tunnel still. It's probably 20 feet tall and 20 feet across at the bottom. Kind of goes in an arch up towards the top, although your various stalactites and stuff do cut that down a bit in places. And Wealthy, I need you to make an intelligence check as you all approach.
That's a nat one.
You all approach. What you determine is the true door to this facility.
Okay.
I'm going to feel like an idiot in a couple of minutes.
Sure, it's fine. And you guys come to another metal door as the tunnel narrows down. However, this is in fact a metal wall that takes up the whole tunnel. And Jesse's probably in front, I imagine. I guess you all are. So everyone make a... There's four of you and fit about four across. So everyone make a wisdom check.
Jesse got a dirty 20 again on A prime.
I got a 22 on an so dot prime.
Vons, I believe, picked up... original recipe Vons picked up 16? No, wait. 15. And other Vons got 12.
Okay. Not primes for both of them?
No.
Vons is. That's a door. The other two of you, there's something at the foot of the door. You approach closer.
Carefully.
You see roughly half a skeleton, specifically the top half.
The other half disappears underneath the door.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Oh,
okay, well,
weird.
That's not pleasant.
Looks like there's a shattered vertebra or two.
Can I tell what kind of person it was?
Yeah, make another wisdom check.
That's a 24 on a prime.
Looks to be a goblin. Or goblinoid, small goblinoid of some variety, so probably just a standard goblin. They sadly lack any ID or other identifying things.
Well, we probably ought to move the skeleton off to the side in a relatively respectful fashion so that we can do what we need to do. And when we get the door open, then we'll put all the bones together off to the side.
Okay.
Okay, so now, what do we see?
You move a bunch of bones carefully in order. So all the connective tissue is gone.
Yeah, they're all separated, but that's fine.
You see a closed door. There is a complicated-looking lock off to the right side of it. Cool Vons and Wealthy, both make intelligence checks, please.
It's 27 on a prime.
I believe that's a dirty 20.
Okay. 27 on a prime lets you know that there is a magical component to this lock, and the dirty 20 on your, sort of lockpicking, lock examination skills lets you know that there is this is basically kind of a combination of a palm lock and a combination lock. You have to put your palm in, you have to kind of choose which fingers to apply pressure into the panel, and then it will open.
Can we look around the edge of the panel or the inside of the panel and see whether or not there's, I'm going to chop your hand off kind of equipment?
Vons, make an intelligence check to check for traps.
Seems reasonable. Oh, right. Because we're talking about cool Vons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we didn't crit fail.
But we didn't do well.
An int check, you say?
Yes.
Well, okay, so that's 9, 10, 11 on a prime.
Total was 11?
12, yeah.
12.
12 on a prime.
You don't see any guillotines, but that's about all you can guarantee.
Okay, so what kind of keys are we looking at?
You're probably trying to look at someone who had designated access. These kinds of magical locks are extremely expensive. You've seen them for, the archive of extremely dangerous, basically books, spells, things like that, at the university, at occasionally, various vaults. The city probably has some for some of its very rare materials, like the diamonds that are the right size and composition to do resurrection, because there's very few of those left on the arcs. Things like that. So this is the highest of the high security.
I don't have that kind of security.
So it probably needs to be both.
Rix probably has that kind of security, because he's a member of the board.
I mean, would they have, updated all of that down here, though?
I imagine there's some central place, because there's got to be lots of places where it just wouldn't be good to security if you had to do it all manually to everything.
I mean, it would do its job of stopping anyone unapproved from getting in. Huh? Doing quite well, in fact.
I don't know why, but I want to call Alvin up and see if he knows anything. He's been down here a lot.
Yeah, but not here, he says as he walks up.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
I mean, the city has some, but like further off in command and things like that. I got brought in with the crew to... Actually, right, I got brought in with the crew to help fix one once, kind of when I was starting. Well, add somebody to it. I don't suppose you secretly have several magic items that are probably held by extremely specific people?
Well, I don't know unless you tell me what those magic items are.
They're all keyed to each lock, and it tends to be a little bit different. Rocks are pretty common. Well, gems, things like that. Usually give each one to a different person.
No, all I've got is an orange glass ring.
Yeah, that's probably not it. Sorry. Let's see. Alvin makes an intelligence check. I mean, there's a bit of a trick with the pressure pattern that you can use, especially if it hasn't been maintained. Essentially, if you curl your fingers just right and push in all at once, you can sometimes get that part of it to pop, but it still needs to be an identified person.
And you don't know who would have authorization to get into this room.
I mean, if this place has been abandoned for that long, it's probably not going to be
anybody alive.
Would it do we think that it would be like anybody? Do we think it would be like specific? How specific is it usually?
I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, Framith, who has been here the whole time, has been like high up in arcs for the whole time. And we have a Frymeath. He's not that Frymeath, but like if it's that old and fucked up, we could like try and trick it or something.
Honestly, even if it's working properly, that'd probably work. So yeah, sure.
I mean, he's not magic, but like Frymeath from here isn't magic either. So,
I mean, wouldn't hurt to try. I think that's probably as good as we're gonna get. I think it would work.
So how we're gonna send somebody to bring Frymeath up, and Frymeath's not feeling good, but because he's still recovering. But
I mean, all he's got to do is.
So how would we go about actually touching the keys? And have you ever seen one of these that like chops a person's hand off or burns it or something like that?
No, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, every lock's different, right? So, but it'll probably be fine.
I mean, I feel like the worst that happens is, like, I don't know, bad shit.
Yeah, that's a pretty good estimation. I'm going to ask Sidroa, if we were to do this, and part of us got cut off, say we got cut off at the wrist, would we be able to put it back on?
You were asking this to Sidroa?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, assuming the bone was not
crushed.
Well, yes, it may be less effective, but yes, we can be, to an extent, reassembled.
I mean, maybe just don't let the bones get crushed.
Yeah, maybe like only put like a part that goes, and I like that we all agreed that Wildrow is the one who should go through without even talking about it, because that makes a lot of sense, man.
Well, I was talking more about the keypad, because I was thinking I could maybe touch Frymeath's hand and get all his fingerprint stuff and then try to open the lock. I'm totally okay with going through.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking Frymeath would open the lock and then like you'd go through like and if you got like cut off part of you inside,
that could be okay.
As long as, you know, you didn't get a bone smashed or whatever.
Yeah. As you can tell, Wealthy's a little bit preoccupied with getting hands cut off from this thing. But let's let Frymeath make that decision.
Hey, Frymeath, would you be able to, like, do the thing that we're talking about?
Put my hand against the panel?
Yeah, and then, like, you know, do the
pressy thing.
Do the very special finger blast motion and, you know, make it happen.
It's been a while, but I should manage.
Oh, man, you got to get on the apps or something.
Tell me, Jesse, what are the apps on the arms?
It's the...
And which digits are used in his very special finger blast motion?
It's the... It's the... It's like any of the appetizer menus at any of the bars. That's what the apps mean. If you buy the apps, it's considered like...
A sign that you're single and ready to mingle.
Yeah, a sign that you're single and ready to mingle. I enjoy this world building that I've done here. Yes. You can't trick me into doing stupid shit in world building. That's where I live.
All right. Frymeath goes up, looks at the panel, puts his hand on it. Several of you had good hearing, so you hear him mumbling something about cowards die many times before their deaths. Valiant never tastes of death but once, etc. And puts his hand on, rolls a dex check, does perfectly okay. See him, you know, do that magic finger blast motion, I guess. And the door slides open.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I need to go through. So Wildrow's going to walk through the door.
Well, like, you're going to go through partway, right? And, like, not have your...
No, I'm just going to walk through, because when have you ever known Wealthy to stop and think about consequences?
I guess never.
Not when it's her. Let's walk through.
You engage in the forbidden D&D act of walking through a door. Without checking it for traps. You go through a door. It's fine.
It's fine.
You find yourself in a hallway carved from the stone. It takes a long time for light orbs to wear out, but these ones have. They can cast only a dull, dim red light that seems to mostly deepen the shadows rather than really help. And you can examine the space more carefully, or you can go in further and examine stuff, or you can wave people forward. I'm not really sure what your plan is.
How good is Sidroa's vision?
You're using it, so.
Well, okay, so we need light. Okay, so I'm going to take my wand of magic missile, and I'm going to cast light.
Well, there's already some light here. I have low light vision.
Okay, there's already some light here?
There's already some light here. Orbs are casting light. It's just...
All right.
It's hard to see in, but it's not impossible, especially for someone with low light vision like yourself or the bonsai. Totally workable.
Okay.
Or Jesse.
I thought Jesse had dark vision.
Well, now I don't remember.
Let's go ahead and...
You get dusk vision now. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. Let's go ahead and start looking around while watching for, you know, like obvious booby traps, like logs with spikes coming out of them ready to skewer me.
Make a wisdom check.
Yeah, I guess Jesse will also follow if...
Frymeath is just standing there being like, how long do you expect me to keep my hand on this panel? Do we know it will close?
You know what? I'll come out. Frymeath, take your hand off the panel.
Takes his hand off. About 30 seconds later, the door closes.
Hey, I guess that answers our question. You gotta keep the... Unless we all move through there, which means Frymeath can't, which would suck.
Well, no, he can as long as he goes within 30 seconds after he takes his hand off the panel.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So we'll just do that. We'll all go in as he holds it open, and then he'll take his hand off the panel and come after us.
Let's see whether or not there's a panel on the other side before we take this drastic an action.
How dare you think of this?
So Fremy's going to open the door, and I'm going to go through, and I'm going to look for a panel on the other side.
Jesse will also go through and look for the panel also.
You find the panel for the other side of the store.
Okay.
More importantly, you find the remains of the panel from the other side of the store.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow, okay. Well,
I guess we're going to have to commit to this if that's what we want to do.
It looks gouged into and torn apart. You're not exactly sure by what.
What kind of thing did this? Jesse, you got any ideas? I'm going to ask Alvin, too, because he's the one who spends time down here.
I look at the panel and see if I can tell anything about what tore it apart.
Jesse, make a wisdom check. Wealthy, make an intelligence check.
Oh, God, that's 27 again.
Oh, that's a 13.
Not one? Or just...
Two.
Okay. And, cool Vons, do you want to take a look at this, too? their knowledge of locks and traps and whatnot?
Well, yeah. All right. I mean, that.
You okay. Put it like that.
It looks like something tore it apart.
I figure Cool Vons is one of the more likely people to be able to tell if you can put it back together.
Yeah, or if it's, well, actually, yeah, well, are we combining locks and traps?
This is just more, you're looking at this thing, maybe it has traps, maybe it doesn't. It's definitely a lock. But this, I figure having both those skills means you're eminently qualified to examine this and just try to figure out what happened to it.
Yeah, well, we rolled a 12, so a bunch.
Oh, also, was there a second half of the goblinoid skeleton on the other side?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, that, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and move those bones to other people in the back of the, more towards the back of the phalanx.
You reassemble a goblin skeleton, plus or minus a few vertebra, by which I mean minus a few vertebra, off to the side. Respectful, like.
Yes, we're very respectful.
And then, so, Cool Vons, your total is what?
So this would be an intelligence roll?
Yeah, so.
Okay. So that would put it, well, I guess it'd be the same as a dexterity roll. So that's 21? No, 22?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, between all your various rolls, Wealthy got pretty high too. Jesse, wow, something really tore into this. Neat. That's about as far as you get.
Yep.
Cool Vons, you determine that this lock can probably not be put back together very easily, because it looks like, you would guess based on rough order of operations and basically a scratch that's carved into a lump of molten metal, it looks like something magically fused a bunch of the inner workings of the lock together, and then something else tore the panel, you know, halfway off and gouged into the inner workings as well. And Wealthy, you know that, you know, some of the stuff is those control crystal things, and some of it is just enchanted gold and silver and such for such a high-end lock, and the kind of almost gel-like surface that your hand sinks into before you crook your fingers a certain way on the mechanism inside. And it takes, at least for the kind of the melty part that Cool Vons discovered, it takes magic to destroy magic of this type, and it's not easy magic. You're essentially doing a slightly low-key version of dispelling a magic item, and that's hard to do consistently, although it's possible they just damaged all the materials enough that the mechanism no longer works. Either way, this lock is fucked.
This lock is fucked. So it was magically fucked.
Man, Wizard Dave had a tantrum, I guess.
Guess so. All right, well, as long as it's magically fucked, and I think everybody agrees on that, maybe we won't run into, you know, like an owlbear or something.
What's an owlbear?
Don't worry about it. Let's move. Let's move into the room and let everybody through. Everybody can come in.
Maybe we leave Frymeath and someone to protect Frymeath out there. Because I don't think we need everybody in the room. We're trying to do stuff in the room.
Yeah, and this is just kind of an entry area and then a hallway deeper into the facility, so.
Then why don't we decide who needs to go and then leave everybody else so that they can protect Frymeath and protect the wall and the door?
Yeah. Let's bring in Alara, let's bring in the Vanguard, Alara, Aramith, Lucky, Squirrelo, May, Green, player characters, Squirrelo for sure. Oh, we already said Squirrelo.
Yeah.
Alvin for sure, Cog, and I mean, that's almost everybody.
Well, we'll leave everybody else out, but we've got some good warriors out and we've got some good warriors in.
Yeah, we'll leave Mir, FM,
Shield.
I feel like we want Shield, actually.
Okay. Then let's leave Alara or Aramith.
Harper can stay outside, given that she's injured anyway.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave her. Well,
okay,
so
that's two injured people.
So we want Shield. We want to bring in Shield, Alara, Aramith, Lucky, Squirrelo, May, Green, Cog, and Alvin.
Okay.
Okay, everybody else stays outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hooray.
All right.
Oh, let's take Juve in with us, too.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea, actually. Let's all move through the door and make... I'm not able to message.
We'll just say every half hour.
Okay, that sounds
good. Do the thing, and then we'll be able to, like, pass messages back and forth. Maybe one person stays next to the door so that they can tell the outside people, like, how it's going or whatever.
Yeah.
This does look like it is a pretty big place, but, yeah, it's certainly not going to be, you know, fucking hour hike in each direction or whatever, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you can send a runner back, basically, and that should work. Okay, we got your inside group. We have your outside group. The door closes.
All right. Does anything jump out to eat us?
Let's go down the hall.
No, but Jaspar feels left out again, and really that's the biggest crime.
Listen, I can't take care of NPCs that are not my own NPCs anymore.
Nope, that's fine. It was just a... I had a flash where I was like, right, Jaspar's in the larger group, but like, but he hasn't been in the Vanguard, so no one's talked to him. Like, sure, that's gone great for him. All right, so you head deeper in. Jesse, make a tracking check just to kind of reassemble what has happened here.
I got a bonus to that. Wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I misread something. Well, I rolled a 15 plus 11 for my level plus wisdom is 26 plus 2 for my half-orc bonus. So that's 28.
Well, that's pretty good. So you head deeper on in. It's a long hallway that you're headed down, and there are doors off to each side. Jesse, it doesn't take an experience tracker to realize that there are skeletons in the hallway in various stages of intact.
And they're all, like, real super-duper dead, yeah?
Yeah, none of this is recent. In reality, some of these might have been mummified, but let's just say they're all skeletons. They're very, very, very dead. And then beyond that, you see that there are long gouges in the floor, see, yes, but also the ceiling and the walls.
Oh, Jesus.
There's some gouges?
Gouges. Yeah. This is what I was afraid of, creatures that were going to eat us. Or gouge us.
Shields here.
Yes, how can I help?
Maybe...
Does this look familiar in any way?
Shield makes the check. Shield rolls really well. It looks like large claws or something else that could bite into stone. I would guess they were, whatever it is, was running along the surface.
Sorry, bite into stone?
Gouge into stone. Something strong enough to carve into it, or carve into metal, as the case may be.
Oh, not like biting the stone.
No, sorry. Apologies, yes.
Sorry, I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Oh my god, we're all in danger.
It could also be the remnants of an enchanted weapon or blade. Many of them, if swung hard enough, stone is an impediment, but not a stopping point.
Yeah.
Whether it's from something attacking these people or someone defending the space with a high-powered weapon, it's a little bit hard to say.
Okay.
The scorch marks on the walls are alarming, admittedly.
Does it look like dragon fire, or, like, could you do damage like this?
Possibly, but space is a little small for a dragon, but probably some sort of either magical fire or alchemical and propelled would be my guess. None of this looks like someone decided to start a campfire next to a wall.
No.
So, I could, in theory, yes, do something like this. At least in terms of the individual pieces. I don't think any of it would add up like this does.
Sure, that makes sense.
So, I think at this point, Vons would want to check for traps again, even if that means hidden doors, trap doors above, below.
Sure. Make three check for traps. As I just divide things in a couple of categories.
All right. Okay, well, one's an 18, or on the die, so check for traps would... is that intelligence?
Yeah, it's intelligence.
Okay, so that would be, 28.
All right.
Do it again. I guess that puts the second one at a 13.
Okay.
And the remaining one, 26.
Okay. I'm going to have you basically examine the hallway. There is a door at the other end. I should note, if I didn't before, these doors slide. They slide up specifically. The door at the end of the hallway looks like the bottom quarter essentially got bent back. So there's a small space that one could squeeze through if needed. But with those examinations, So the hallway itself seems to not have any traps in it. There are three doors on each side of the hallway. All of them have been barricaded, or at least there were attempts to barricade them. These are more just your standard swinging open and closed doors, you know, for chumps. And you do see that someone rigged some sort of tripwire on one of them. Like when you partially open it, you can, you know, see it start to pull taut. But the other ones, they're like they're busted down or they were fully locked and you can't see any, or they're barricaded on the other side. And most of them have been cracked open anyway. So that's the only trap you find there. And then you're also looking for hidden doors.
Mm-hmm.
So out in the hallway, you're checking for that specifically, and do you see a small spot in the ceiling that has a nearly invisible seam around it that you think is probably a hidden hatch or trap door?
Hmm. Oh, he says auspiciously or loudly enough. Hmm.
Yeah. What are your fox eyes see?
I don't know for sure, but there's something here. Do you want to look at this and tell me what you think? These cracks here?
I don't know like anything about traps that aren't like out right, in nature.
Right here. Have a look at right here.
When Cool Vons points you to it, you can also see just barely those seams. You're kind of impressed that Cool Vons saw it, but they are there.
Should I do like a wisdom check to like see if I can see anything about how we would get it open?
I'll save you the check. Given that there's no obvious control mechanism, your guess would be that you can either touch it or push it. Cool Vons, you would guess from how well this is made, it might be one of those things where you kind of touch it and it pops open. Jesse, you're pretty sure if that's not the case, you could just shove it open and it would be fine.
Jesse will take the wolf spear and like turn it upside down. How high is the ceiling here?
10 feet.
10 feet? Yeah, that sounds good. Jesse will take the wolf spear, turn it upside down, and try to poke the trap door open.
Okay.
Well, we might think about this a little bit. Like, we don't know what made all of these marks that you guys have been looking at, but if it's behind that door, we want to be ready for it, right?
I mean, it's a trap door in the ceiling. There's no like particular marks around it. I'd like to just open the door.
All right. Let's be prepared though.
Everybody else can like, I don't know.
I've got the spear of heroes, so I'm ready.
Everybody else can back up. Everybody else can back up 20 feet if they want, I guess.
Shield should probably be there in as dragon, so they can you know, take care of anything that might come out.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
Shield goes down towards the far end of the hallway, transforms into a dragon, so that they would be blocking your further ingress, not your exit. Done.
Okay, I poke the thing. I poke the trapdoor.
Make a dexterity check. To poke real good.
Okay. It's a 23, not a prime.
You ever so gently poke with the wolf spear, and the panel recesses slightly up into the ceiling, slides open, and Kelly, can you just roll a d100 for me and tell me what you get?
86.
All right. So you go, you poke this thing open, and 86%, followed by the remaining 14%, of a body falls out of the ceiling and onto the floor.
Oh, God.
Also, a ladder extends down.
Is there, is the body fresh, medium fresh, or all bones?
The body is essentially all bones at this point. It looks like some remnants of flesh might have mummified to it, but
okay.
Conditions were just right up there, I guess. So, hooray! Yeah. Another friend.
Okay, let's move to... can we look at the bones and tell how they died? Were they crushed?
Yeah, well, Droa, free bones.
I don't want the bones.
Are you sure?
I mean, there's already been a lot of free bones in here, man. Like,
you could have four legs.
I don't need four legs.
Quadrupeds are more stable.
You could be Centaur Weldroa. Come on.
Oh, God, you people.
We met a centaur.
How would that even work? How would that even work? Anyway.
Carefully.
You'd have a torso and also more bones, legs.
More bones just means more power.
Yeah.
Okay, leave me alone. Don't make me self-conscious about being a goo monster, okay?
We're trying to make you even cooler.
Yeah, we're just trying to make you more awesome.
They're trying to support you with more bones.
We're literally trying to be as supportive as possible.
Unfortunately, I can see how I can be made into a centaur, and I just don't want to do that.
Okay, well, we won't suggest it again, then. You don't have to freak out, though. You can just say no.
You guys are just being weird about my bone situation.
We're trying to be helpful.
It doesn't feel like it.
Well, that's on you.
Okay. Wildrow, how would we go about... How would you go about making a quadruped out of two humanoid bodies? I'm just asking!
You have to say my name correctly first.
Oh, Sidroa. I'm sorry, Sidroa.
Well, simply, we can bundle bones together to make longer and thicker things where needed. We can... Would you want a centaur-like body plan? Or perhaps something more centered?
Well, how would you... If you didn't have a centaur-like body plan, how would you use four legs? How would you attach an extra set of legs?
Extend goo over them. I'll extend myself over them.
Okay, you know what? If you think that's more stable, we're already really weird, so let's just, you know, take it up a notch.
It'd be like a wildcat or something.
You could just add more joints to your existing legs, and then you can get, like, reverse knees, like chicken legs. You can
whatever you need to do.
ATST thing happening.
Could just look like a normal horse.
I don't want to be a horse. We're talking about two human bodies here. Humanoid bodies here.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just, like, kind of play puzzle pieces and make it horsey.
Or you could get rid of all the long bones entirely, just collect all the vertebra and go full snake.
Oh, yeah. Or not get rid of the rest of them and be like a real, all the wrong places snake.
Let's do a centaur body. Basically take the top. Would you please?
I love how you went from, like, stop it, that is too weird, to, yeah, okay, let's do a centaur body.
Have you been listening to yourself?
Yes, I have been. I'm very amused.
Okay, so take the, oh, God, this could be so weird on the recording. Go ahead and take, like, the top lumbar. Don't use the cervical. The cervical bones, take the top lumbar and just kind of like extend it out, and then I mean, there's no bones, there's no connective tissue or muscle or anything, so I don't guess being walking essentially bent over back there is gonna bother the legs or anything.
It's true, I have not chosen this moment to develop joint pain for both of us.
Well, that's polite of you.
I try. Sidroa goes and does its oozing thing and gathers up a couple skeletons. And Wealthy, you are now a halfling centaur thing, except you're basically a full-sized centaur.
Yeah, because, it came out of a human body. We're carrying around a human skeleton.
Yeah, so you're basically a full-sized centaur now.
Black goo centaur, but okay, yeah.
Well, Droa does do some things with various finger bones and stuff to give you basically feet that have a little bit of grip to them, you know. They can kind of curl the front feet like fingers. They're not as dexterous, but I figure you don't want to do the horse on a smooth, hard surface thing on the arcs, which is notably full of smooth, hard surfaces.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Although now I'm imagining them putting like AstroTurf all over the arcs. So the folks with hooves don't have problems. Anyway.
Jesse, like, looks at you in your new centaur shape and is like, this is weirdly like, just weirder enough more that I'm not as upset by you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. All right, so let's go ahead and move the remainder of the bones off to the side, now that we've disrespected the body entirely, and see what's going on up in the attic space.
All right. Sounds like while Droga goes up, although, that could get tricky, but you can do it.
No, I mean, we should be able to just bend around any way we want to.
Yeah, where's the challenge in that? You all see the majesty of a centaur-type body plan climbing up a ladder. Surprisingly well.
Oh, no. How is it going to get back down?
Stuck up there.
Stuck up there forever.
Like cows and stairs. Nope. All right.
Horses and stairs are the same.
I figured. So you crawl up in there. You do have to stay crouched down pretty far because this is what looks to be a maintenance area or perhaps a ventilation shaft that extends off into the darkness away from you. And you think out into, follows wherever the hallway is going, but looks like it also forks at various points as well. It's a squeeze for you, and it'll be a squeeze for most people. But, some of you will just need to be bent over in a crouch. Cool Vons and Vons Prime probably won't care at all. And yeah, Jesse will probably need to be stooped over a bit. So it's cramped in here, relatively speaking. But, and there are magic conduits that are running on the walls. They have all gone dark, but they are there. And you see various complicated traces of magical machinery scattered throughout.
Okay, I'm going to head towards some of the magical machinery.
All right, you head just a few feet down to get to the first one that you see. It looks to be readouts for measuring how much is flowing through here and adjusting the balance between the couple of different forks as needed. Several of the other machines look the same. From an overall examination of this facility seems complex and also like it was designed to kind of... This is very much, you would guess, just relying on its own power grid, which I used to say is like kind of a bunch of stuff the city would have sort of scattered all over. This place has compacted into just its space.
Okay, what kind of things would the city have?
Just, I'm talking like junctions or controls for things like that. Like the kind of stuff that would be in a...
So the whole room feels like it's self-contained.
The whole facility, are in just the centering hallway. But yeah, so this whole facility that you're entering seems like it's probably pretty self-contained.
Okay, that's kind of bizarre. All right.
You are pretty far underground.
Well, yeah. How far are we from the core?
Once you can get the hallways clear, you think you could get down there in like a day-ish if there's no giant obstacles in the way. And that's including time for kind of your basic obstacles you've been running into.
Those Shocked Mountains is with us, right?
Those of the High Mountains?
Those of the High Mountains. God damn it.
Yes, those of the High Mountains is technically, I think, would be outside now. Like, outside the thing.
Damn. Who did we leave behind to watch?
It's at the very least FM, Harper, Jaspar, Mir.
No, I'm talking about who did we leave beside the door to tell everybody every half hour what's going on.
You're not even 50 feet in, so it doesn't really...
Okay, then we're...
A lot of people.
I'm going to say, whenever it gets to that point, we left Lucky.
Okay.
Lucky's the runner,
but
essentially.
But I brought my beret.
What?
I was joking that she says, but I brought my beret. You know, she wants to be an active part of the revolution.
Yeah, well, the active part of the revolution also does need runners, so...
Damn you, logistics.
Welcome to the revolution.
Hooray, how glorious.
We still need accountants.
All right. So I assume you report what has been seen.
Yeah. Let's just keep going forward then.
All right.
Not in that like trapdoor area, right?
I said, do you want to stay in the ventilation system or do you want to go back down into the hallway?
Okay, let's go down in the hallway.
You all see the majestic sight of a centaur overcoming the odds and going back down a ladder.
That looks.
I don't know. It seems like to me that if they want to, Sidroa can pull the legs forward and kind of squish them so that we've got like really big ass and fat legs as we come down this ladder. I don't know. It's just weird.
Feel like you look more like a Ghibli. Studio Ghibli demon than anything else.
Yes,
that
yes.
has ever happened.
That works.
Like, especially with the centaur's form.
I got the mask.
Yeah. Well, you do have, like, they do have, like, armor and stuff. So they still have the armor that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just getting increasingly weird here.
At any rate, you make your way back down.
Yeah.
What did you see, everyone's eyes ask you?
Not much. Some magic. It looks like this place is pretty self-contained. We shouldn't be too far from the core, so I imagine that they wanted to make sure that this place maintained its energy. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
We'll just keep going down the hall then.
And as you push further into the facility, that's where we will pick up next time.
Yay!
Yay!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.